Welcome, beautiful soul, in this exciting new episode. I am super, super excited to have this chat today with a very, very, very special guest. She is no other than an incredible friend of mine. Only the stars know how much I love her. She is an amazing inspiration to me and a very long time friend from when I was living in Malta. And she is also my soon-to-be maid of honor. Oh my God.
Yay!
Welcome, Ryan Kaban.
Thank you. Thank you, sister.
So Ren, she's currently tuning in from the Shakti Island of Malta. She is such a devotional woman. She is a mother. She's a singer, an incredible belly dancer, and a sexy, juicy woman who invites all women to feel exactly that, to go into pleasure, into the pure expression of sexuality. She is very, very devoted to her own process of experiencing life through herself, to her healing, to redefining womanhood, motherhood, the divine feminine, and all that juiciness.
All that.
And in this last period, she has grown so much. I do believe we have both witnessed each other growing and evolving in so many different ways. And she is now currently hosting retreats to guide women back into the space of the womb, to tune in, connect, and listen to our sacred yonis. And she does this through helping women connecting to their voices. She has an incredible voice. And then connecting their voice to every single part of them. So through belly dance, through singing, beautiful embodiment practices, and everything it takes to connect and finally rest into the space of the womb once again. And since we do have recurring few hour calls, to me are like personally mind-blowing every time we connect, and simply by sharing our life experiences, we thought it would be amazing to have just chat together today.
Yeah.
And share it to the world for everyone to benefit.
Exactly. Our private conversation should be public.
Totally. And so in this episode, we felt to bring forward a very important topic and have a proper conversation regarding, the title is The Subtle Art of Not Bypassing Life. So I will pass the mic to Ren if you want to begin this conversation.
Sure. First of all, I'd love to thank you for that great introduction. And would just like to say that you saved my life once, you know, and yeah, it was just written in the stars that we venture together, and there's nobody in this world that knows my heart better than you do. Yep, because we're like the same, you know, so we perfectly understand each other. Yeah, and we just wanted to talk about this really important topic. And I kind of want to start by saying, I'm going to kill the Buddha.
Oh, God, I love that.
Because they say, when you meet the Buddha, kill him, you know.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm about to do right now. We're going to slaughter. Sorry, Buddha. Love you, but going to have to kill you now. Because I feel like in the last, I don't know how many thousand years, we've just been told that our bodies are traps, our mind is a trap, you know, pleasure is a trap. This life is a trap, but like primarily our bodies, you know. And although this movement of like coming back to the body is really evident now, so I'm not pioneering this movement. It's been going for a while. But I want to even take it a step further. I want to say, let's not be enemies with our mind either, our ego either, you know, just come into full harmony with that. And I know that a lot of people are like, oh, no, you know, don't go there. You know, don't go there. Don't become friends with your mind. Don't become friends with your ego, because then you're going to stay in your safe space, or you're going to get caught in a labyrinth of thoughts. But, you know, in a way, we are not experiencing life without our egos and our minds. Simply put, all of this existence right now is just happening in our minds. You know, I mean, I'm seeing the screen. It's actually, I'm not seeing it out there. I'm seeing it within. And the mind is an endless playground for creation to just expand and expand and expand. Basically, our minds, you know. And so here we are as people battling with our mind, battling with our emotions as well. Like, our emotions are just not to be trusted because they're always fluctuating up and down. You know, our bodies, they have needs. You know, we shouldn't, like, you know, bend to these needs. God forbid, you know. And so it's like we're not alive, actually. It's like we're killing life. We are anti-life through this movement. And I understand where it comes from. I understand how, you know, we have this posture of, I am not the body, I am not the mind, you know. Because there is something beyond this great creation, you know, which everybody is aspiring to reach. This great non-dual place where nothing affects us, you know. That's the promise. That, you know, the promised land, you know, of this place. And I've seen people, you know, act enlightened, you know, as opposed to really seeing what the F this is through your own experience, not bypassing, you know, all of these steps, but just like going into this non-dual space. I'm just going to watch my thoughts, watch my emotions, you know. I'm going to watch my desires, mm-hmm. and act enlightened. And this is why I say I want to kill the Buddha, because people are aspiring to this. Now, I wish I could verify this, and maybe I should have looked it up, but I heard once when I took I love you too. When I took this religious studies class, and I in my mind it was Buddha, it could have been somebody else, but it really doesn't matter, because what was said was, I do not know the secret to existence. I cannot tell you, you know, what life is or the meaning of life. But what I do know is how to alleviate suffering. You know, and I believe that in an effort to alleviate suffering, we've gone into this like non-dual, watch the thoughts, watch your body, watch your emotions, you know, in a way that maybe our body, our mind, our emotions, we're just, yeah, just not attuned enough, you know, we weren't attuned enough to drive this vehicle, mm-hmm. you know, but I feel like we're stepping into a new era. You know, like, who's to say that these are like eternal truths, right? That I should always just mistrust my body and always mistrust my mind, right?
Absolutely.
And I get it that it's really good sometimes to watch your thoughts. It's great. But are we watching from a place of like, I'm not a part of this. I'm not going to believe anything that my mind is telling me. Or are we watching our mind from a place of, wow, my mind is actually trying to communicate to me my belief patterns that I have been stuck in. And when my mind is in a loop, I need to goddamn listen to that loop and find out what the heck is underneath that belief pattern. You know, like, it's not enough to just be like, I'm not these thoughts. So I'm just going to, you know, because some people do that. That's, you know, they're in the thick of it. And they're like, oh, yeah, these patterns came back. And I'm like, what? That's old news. I'm not that.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And that's great. But you have to go through the eye of the needle sometimes before you, you know, before you can really say, you know, I'm free of these things. You know, you have to sit in the center of that emotion, not just watch it, you know, from this dry place of like, oh, I am beyond. We are beyond. We are. On some levels, we are. We are that too, you know. But we are also this. Mm-hmm. And we cannot peel creation away from non-creation, you know, from the unmanifest. This has been around just as long.
Beautiful. Yes, yes. So very important. It looks like also like this, the balance, okay, between, we could say, the masculine and the feminine. This is the essence in the end. Like, there's so many schools, spiritual movements, spiritual schools talking about the masculine approach of nothingness. We are nothing. There's nothing to do. Life is meaningless and okay. But personally, especially as a woman, which is designed to like pleasure, it is not juicy in that space. It's not fucking erotic. There's nothing nice. There's nothing beautiful. There's nothing juicy in that. It is useful.
Yeah.
Freedom. Okay. Say, okay, that sort of non-attachment to things, but it's useful in certain circumstances. But when you like spread that in your whole life, life becomes quite dull, becomes stuck. Nothing going on. You're not like in control of actively of your life, and you're very, very passive. And I know this because I was in that situation and I thought it was actually freedom, but at some point it was just like, there was always something missing. There was always something missing, always something missing.
Right.
I was just living halfway. And as you said, you know, like it's dry, but when you sit in the center of the needle of the emotion, you like, I love the term to embody the emotion. And that's when things start to juice up. Okay, you can embody anger, you can embody grief, you can embody all the emotions without having to be overwhelmed by that emotion and controlled by that emotion.
Yeah.
This is where that masculine part of awareness is very useful.
Right.
But you're not blocking yourself from actually experiencing the emotion.
Truth.
Which that brings you completely up to life. And that can stir up a lot of shit. And it can like move your life in ways that you can completely not expect.
It's powerful. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, baby. Yeah, absolutely. I just really, what I imagine when you like really just go into the emotion is just like letting it like just tremble in the very core of you. What's gonna happen? Ain't nothing gonna happen. If you let that, you know, if you just let that happen. You know, it kind of reminds me of this. I heard this really, it was really beautifully put. Somebody I heard said, I'm not attached to life, but it's not the same as not fearing death. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's like with this, kind of this masculine approach of like, you know, non-attachment and, you know, we're just moving through this life, which is just illusion, which I feel this word illusion is actually, we got to dump that word.
Yeah.
That's something else we're going to talk about. We're going to dump that word. But like, you know, so it's like, oh, when I'm ready to leave this life, I'm ready, which I get because I'm also like that, you know, but that doesn't mean that I'm not afraid of dying. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where the feminine is, and that's where it's like when you walk towards death with your eyes open into the unknown, you know, and you shake inside.
Yeah.
You know, if I told you like, hey Jasmine, let's go for a ride, but in this car ride, like you're not coming back home, this is going to be your last car ride, you will take a deep breath before you go in the car. You know, I don't care how goddamn enlightened you are, you know. And that's okay to admit that we are human. We are designed for that for some reason. I don't know why, but I'm tired of like fighting it, you know? and so this non-dual nature that we're all searching for, right? Where, you know, nothing touches us, this kind of thing. It's like, I've seen people like claim this, but they're actually, then something happens, you know, in their life and they got to keep this posture and you're just like, dude, it's okay.
That just, yes, I am not feeling anything. I'm dismissing, I'm deactivating. I hear so much going on into the spiritual world.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate trap. I can't wait to see. I should write a blog post. We should spirituality is the trap, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible.
Cry. Like punch some pillows, you know, scream. Because this earth is crying to be seen. You know, we are just demolishing the planet and society and the vulnerable because, you know, it's an illusion. And even if these people who are doing most of the damage are not even aware of this conversation that we're having, at some level they are. At some level, it's the feminine, and she just keeps giving. Anyway, it's just Maya, then we're all gonna die and none of this will matter.
Yes. Comes quite pessimistic, and then it's like, okay, I mean, I can override this and who cares? Comes very superficial. It's a very superficial way of living.
And we become numb to other people's suffering, you know, it's a spiritual person too, you know, you're just like, oh, you could say, you know, they just have to suffer. And my part is to, you know, be non-dual about their suffering. And actually, I asked recently to open up into universal love and compassion. Mm-hmm. And boy, did I not get it. Instead, I got to feel everybody's pain. Mm-hmm. And my own too. My own childhood, which I had, you know, to protect myself, conveniently suppress those feelings. The memories are there, but the feelings, they rushed back. And all the pain, you know, of women who are giving birth without really having support. I mean, that is tremendous pain. And oh my God, it was like my heart was under tons of weight and it was just going to crack open, you know? And I realized that I can't just open up into love and compassion without first feeling the pain and suffering of everyone. You don't get to go there without that, you know? And when you can really hold all of that pain and still smile, that's non-duality.
Oh, feminine wisdom.
That's true non-duality. That's truly ascending. But you don't without both of them.
Yes. That's when you literally allow grace to unfold in your life. This is my experience. You get to really embrace all sides. And especially women, we're so cyclical. And a week ago, I was completely in doing mode and I was super high in energy and I was feeling all the good vibes and all the good feelings. And I was just feeling, yes, this is me. This is how it should be. And then now my feelings are great. I'm ovulating and there's so many things going on and I'm feeling death, literally I'm feeling walking death. But am I not allowing these emotions come through me? Is it wrong? Is it something I have to deny? Or is it if I follow that thread and I go into the depths of that, I feel the most connected to the world, to people, to everything. And it's it's in these moments, we can also say dark moments, but they're actually so filled with light. If we can listen to go in there, it's just I'm so blessed. I feel so grateful to live this life, to be able to just feel these emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you would think that whoever is responsible for these curses that we call them, you know, they're devils, you know, they're devils. It's the devil messing with me, you know? And in some cultures where they're, you know, mm-hmm. a bit more mature or enlightened about it, yeah, they would call it the dark goddess, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, but she has a completely different like reason than what, especially in Western culture, we can see her. Because the darkness in that sense is just like all the darkness that is actually pivoting towards the light.
Yes, if
you
absolutely.
Go to the bottom of that darkness, you just see light, totally. Pure light. Not the light, like the light that we can imagine, like turning on the light. It's just the light that is limitless. It's without a form. It's without a name. It's without a color. It's just so bright. It's so overwhelming. And it's so spiritual. I don't know what other term I can give it. It's just graceful.
It's divine.
It's divine. It's divine. Really divine. It's
yeah, and I think in the West, we just, like, you know, when I was a little girl, I was like, how is it if God is, like, omnipotent and all-powerful? Mm-hmm. How did this guy called the devil get away from his grasp? Like, what's that? And there's a battle between them? Like, what the heck? Like,
fight or something?
They're fighting? What? Like, shouldn't they be on each other's side? Kind mm-hmm. of like, and I was especially, like, the story, because I was raised Catholic, so I was like, if the devil is, like, punishing all of the sinners, like, isn't he, like, kind of like a business partner with God? Like, you know, he's doing him a favor, you know? Like, if God didn't like him, why is he sending all these sinners over there? Like, what? It didn't make any sense. And it still doesn't make any sense to me. So for me, what the West refers to as devils and all that is just the other polarity, but still divine. They are just holding the other polarity, without which we wouldn't have life. And we made it an enemy, but it's not an enemy. It's just as divine. And, you know, it's not what we thought. Mm-hmm. They are gifts too. When these hard times come, quote unquote, these are gifts. We're not forgotten, you know? We're, yeah.
So beautiful.
Mm.
Thank you. I think these are just like conversations that, wow. You made me remember this. It's called a koan. I think those like small stories that come from like Buddhism or Zen.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually didn't remember until you spoke about this that so there was the Buddha, mm-hmm. and there is Yama, who is the detainer, you know, of the samsara. So of all the suffering and all the bad, you could call it the devil, okay? So there's the Buddha and the devil. And Yama was just like so tired. He was so tired of having all the people always complaining about him. And always like saying, oh my God, the devil is this and the devil is that, and I don't want to go to hell and I don't want to suffer and all these things. He was just so tired about all these people complaining about him. So he just decided to go visit the Buddha. So he went to the Buddha, and at the Buddha's temple, there were like his monks and like all his disciples, his students. And as soon as they saw Yama coming, they were like so alarmed. And they said, what are you doing here? You are not welcome here. You're like the devil. You should go away. Why did you come here? You know? And the Buddha, hearing all this like fighting, and he just came and said, what are you saying? It's Yama. He's completely welcome here in this temple. And so, you know, they just silenced, and then he just welcomed Yama inside. Mm-hmm. And Buddha just said, would you like some tea?
Right.
And then, why did you come to me? And Yama was just so frustrated, said, oh, Buddha, I'm just so tired of all these people complaining about me. You see, also your students, they just see me, and they just see me as the devil, and they just see me as something negative, and I'm just tired. I wish I would be you. I wish I could be you, Buddha. And the Buddha looked at him, smiling, and he said, oh, Yama, you have no idea what it means to be on my side. Always having students complaining about the devil and saying, talking, if I am talking, they said, like, they were, like, making you go away as if it was my command or something, but it's not actually. They really don't understand the teachings of liberation. Mm. And it's so difficult to be here where I am. So sometimes I actually wish I could be you. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So they find this middle point in which they're like, they're the same. They're mm-hmm. absolutely the same. Mm-hmm. And as you say, they're just like holding the polarity for mm-hmm. which life couldn't exist.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. And we're, and we just wish that we could do away with it, but you know,
the only way is through.
No. And the thing is, to be honest, mm-hmm. I mean, if we are these great beings, right? Because it's just a ridiculous story to be like, oh yeah, I am this great being and I'm just going to incarnate myself so I can have a purpose, you know, quote unquote, to enlighten myself. That's kind of like laughable, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the goddess is like, oh, sleep a bit more. It's just so much more fun when you're sleeping, you know? And like the moment that she wants us to wake up from this dream, she will wake up from it. But, you know, we would get quite bored if we came here as these perfect beings, you know. It'd get boring fast. I mean, it's already boring now for many. Imagine.
Beautiful. So yes, like an invitation to really embrace the uncomfortable, because it's exactly what makes us more alive. Also, of course, what we invite as to be positive, we can say the nice emotions and the nice feelings and everything that is comfortable. But when the uncomfortable comes, then we are certainly living right now what is considered to be extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it is truly a call to like rise, step in and really feel, because the more we feel, I don't know, the more we can, like, we are having great opportunities to change the trajectory of our lives right now.
Yeah. Word. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, if we can choose a better timeline for ourselves, why not, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's time that we stop abusing ourselves. You know, and for there to be more respect to this creation, you know, to the feminine within us. Mm-hmm. And wow, just allow that balance to come back, because life is going to be difficult anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it's, for example, I'm a mother, you know, I have fears about losing my daughter, and if she ever has to pass away before I pass away, that's a pain that I don't even want to think about, you know. So let alone, I mean, just life, you know, even if it was like hunky-dory smooth, it still is challenging enough, you know. We I think we just have to move into an era now of really respecting life. And not trying to die before we're dead. You know what I mean? Just really respecting the life within us, this temple that we are, you know, especially women. Because we birth creation, literally. I mean, we literally push it out of our bodies. And this is like such a service to humanity, and the way we have treated women, the way we treat them still.
Yeah.
You know, we don't understand how you were saying, like, we're cyclical. Mm-hmm. Our whole society is just based on an arrow going. You know, we don't even think that maybe in the winter we should all slow down like a bear. And just go and hibernate for a bit. You know how hard it is to just keep pushing yourself out of bed every morning, 6 a.m, and go, no matter what's going on, you know? Like, there's just so much wisdom in honoring the feminine and moving with the feminine. As a society, as a whole, we will all exhale and relax. When we stop trying to control her body, when we're not in fear of her pleasure, you know? And yeah, I mean, I know for the masculine, it's like overwhelming power to witness the feminine, you know, to be able to hold her.
Yes.
But really gotta see this. We're just moving away from controlling nature even, you know, we're building so many things, infrastructures in case an earthquake, in case around the beautiful waterfall, all this concrete, Niagara Falls, you know, we're just trying to even, yeah, in so many ways, control the feminine. And like you said, grace, you know, grace, and you cannot teach surrender, but sometimes things keep knocking us until we finally like surrender, you know, and let the feminine be, you know. I don't really care too much about these lessons of like subliming the sexual energies up to the crown. No, I want all that juice down there in my pussy. You know, it is divine right there, exalted right there in my yoni. You know, it's not about making it something else. No, let's celebrate our sexuality, please. let's make space for the blissful woman through the goddamn front door, is what I say. You know, no more in the side door anymore.
Mm-hmm. I love this completely. Yeah. Oh, I'm drinking again.
Oh. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your beautiful wisdom. I could just like, I love your storytelling. So this is exactly how our calls are like 2 hours and just like Ren is just speaking and talking and I'm just like here with my open mouth and like loving eyes and just like, yes, need more.
Oh, but in it's so easy to talk in your presence. I just feel the spirit moving me.
So looking forward to like really make some retreats together, host some retreats together. It would be so, so beautiful.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so my wish. Yes. Yes. And I love your work. I follow your work all the time. Like when I open Facebook, the first thing I do is click on your stories. I like go through every single one. Oh, especially then like Ravi's, I look at it a few times and I'm just like, oh, that lucky little baby. It's hard to see him as a baby. He's just this divine creature.
Oh my goodness.
No.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think we had a beautiful, beautiful chat. Is there like something else you would like to add?
Having
my sisters or our people who are hearing us find you?
Yeah, you can just find me on Facebook, send me a message. Mm-hmm. I'm currently starting one-on-ones to help women juice themselves up a little bit, but not without first going through what's keeping them away from their juiciness, because actually that's really what it is. And so, yeah, if you feel the need, desire, call to be, you know, guided through this, I'm here for you.
Yes.
So get in touch. Yeah.
If you want a mentor to help you kill the Buddha within you.
Shoot him. Just go shoot him.
Got the Buddha player.
That's going to be like my new logo.
Ren, the Buddha Slayer. I love it.
I know it's going to furl up a lot of feathers, but oh God.
I think I'm going to call the title of this podcast could be Killing the Buddha.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to, you know, we got to do that. And we have to experience it. We can't think that we are a certain way. We have to actually experience it. So we're going to kill the Buddha. Step one.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
And I think we'll definitely do more because this is so beautiful. It's so enlightening. Ah, spread all this goodness in all the world.
Yes. Yes, sister.
With your heart.
Yeah, lots of love to everybody listening. Thanks again. Thank you for your openness and your trust in me.
So thank you, and stay tuned for other juicy episodes. Thank you so much for tuning in. All my love and Ren's love.